My dad, Pastor Salem, felt so blessed to be in your homes each week to reveal God's mercy, grace, and everlasting love. Hello, I'm Mike Salem. Every day we read such uplifting letters sent to us. We are grateful for your prayers. From New York, an online comment reads, "You wonderful folks are in our daily prayers, and thank you for keeping Pastor Salem's preaching alive." From North Dakota, "Thank you for keeping up all the programs. I pray you will continue to receive donations for the telecast for a long time. May you all be blessed and keep well." In the message today, "The Vine and the Branches," Pastor reminds us that our strength and life comes from Christ. And God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Another week's rolled by. Now here you are opening the door and letting us come in. And all over the world, we're entering homes and tents and whatever, and we're worshiping the Lord together. And during our worship service, it is our prayer that many will turn to Jesus. Maybe some of you haven't ever opened your heart to Jesus, and you're going to do it this today. You're going to do it in this service. Wouldn't that be great? And they'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, that's wonderful. And so we're going to be talking about the vine and the branches. And there's some wonderful lessons, some wonderful stories as we look into John chapter 15. But first of all, we want to look at Psalm 116 in the opening verses, where the psalmist writes, "I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow, and then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful." Beautiful. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercy and your grace. Oh, what a kind God you are, and your love is everlasting for those who know you. But to those who do not know you, Lord, you do love them, but that love will close when they come to death unless they belong to you. And so we pray that multitudes today will open their heart to Jesus and that God will be glorified. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And Jan has a song you're going to love, and it's going to bring back a lot of good memories. "Love Lifted Me," and God bless you, Jan.
Could help, love lifted me.
thank you, Jan. And isn't that wonderful, the singing about the love of God? And I want to tell you something, friends. God so loved the world that he gave his son. That's how much God loved. He loved enough to give his son. Would you give your children for enemies and rebels against God? Would you give your son to die on a cross? Never. It would be impossible. But God's love is a great love, and it's a love that ought to melt our hearts and bring us to Jesus right away. But I want to tell you something, friend. There'll be a day when God's love is there no longer. If you reject that love, if you refuse Jesus Christ, that love's going to end when you die. And then it isn't the love of God, but the wrath of God. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. So I'm praying in this as we have our service today that you'll make that prayer and ask Jesus to come into your heart and take away your sin and promise to just to turn from the sin, live for him, love him. Oh, that's the only way to live. Well, we get so many nice letters, and we just want to thank you. Appreciate that. We read every letter we get. And if you have a spiritual problem or something like that, if it's political, why, we probably won't have much to say. But if it's something in the realm of the spiritual, we'll answer the best we can with Scripture. Won't be our ideas, but what God says. And so I want to share some of those letters today. The first one is from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I've been watching your service for a long time after I had both knees replaced. I couldn't get out to church anymore. I do so enjoy it. I never miss a Sunday. I lost my daughter in May, and your sermons are so comforting. I call you my church home now. I pray for you and the staff every day. I hope your service will continue. I'd really like to be on Sunday if I could. I would be lost on Sunday if I couldn't listen to your service. I enjoy the music so much. I'm 97 years old. Well, I'm very jealous of her. 97. I'm only 94. But I don't know how I'll ever catch her. But isn't this great now? Seriously, it's impossible, especially in the winter months. These winter months, it's hard to get out, impossible to get out for some people. Well, we can be your church. And you know what we can do? We all gather all around the world. We gather around the throne of grace in heaven. And we worship Jesus. We worship our Heavenly Father. And there's joy and there's blessing and the help in it. So thank you, dear sister, for this letter. Here's Tupelo, Mississippi. Listen to this one. My great-granddaughter was here when you were preaching and she said, amen. She is only 2 years old. Now see, my sermons, you can understand what I'm talking about. Two-year-olds are saying amen. And so just listen in. You can't help but get something from it because we're using the Bible, using the Word of God. There's power in the Word. And then they close by saying this, when your program comes on, off goes the game. Boy, I bet I'm popular among some of the men around there turning off their football game. By the way, not so much football, basketball, I guess, whatever it is. But it's in the long run, you'll be way better off thinking about the things of the Lord. That's a nice letter. Anchorage, Alaska. I was sick and listened to your message in Anchorage, Alaska. I have known the Lord as my Savior for 70 years. Your message lifted me up. May God truly bless your efforts to spread his gospel throughout the country. Now, the message lifted her up. You know why? It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. That's where the power is. It isn't in any man. It isn't in our wisdom. It's what God has to say. And when you take that wonderful Word of God, that's why it's wonderful to read the Bible. Because, oh, there'll be blessings and there'll be encouragement and there'll be direction. And that's what gives us strength and help, the Word of God. Feed on the Word. Oh, let's see. Oh, yeah, here, I got to read this one. Kingsland, Georgia. So wrong. Suicide is the ultimate rejection of God. Get it right. Take back your wrong. You're leading people to hell. I'll pray for you. Even the best will be deceived. Wise up. So I really got Hail Columbia from Georgia. And I'll tell you what it's all about. I've written a little booklet, and it's entitled, Can a Christian Who Commits Suicide Go to Hell, Heaven? Go to Heaven? And the answer is, yes, indeed. And it's all scripture. I got 10 pages, and it's the Word of God. I didn't die and come back to earth. I didn't have visions and dreams and nothing like that. It's the Bible. So you write to this and see if this dear lady, I appreciate that she says she prays for me, but I don't know what she prays for, really. But I'm going to hope for the best. But you write, let me give you the address right now. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you write for this. We'll just put suicide. And if you can send a gift, that's fine. It's a 10-page booklet. And see if how we score with you on that. I'd like to hear from you. Here's a letter from Minot, North Dakota. We thank God for you and your helpers. We are Missouri Synod Lutherans who thank you that God has given you many years to feed us, the sheep, the message of God's saving grace to our hungry souls. That's exactly our business. It's to spread the Word of God, to feed the people the Word of God. We don't care what people think. We don't care about dreams and visions and all that. Maybe you've got them. I don't know. But we want the written Word of God. And I think it's Billy Graham who said, God put a front cover and a back cover on that Bible, and you don't add to it and you don't take from it. And that's where the power is, the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And so that's why we preach it, and that's why you ought to read it. Read your Bible every day and get into the Word. Here's a place that's got a nice name, Salem, Oregon. I sure do like that name. Says, Happy New Year. Thanks for being my church in prison. Enclosed is my love offering for your ministry. May God bless you and your board, our team, with many more years of fruitful ministry in Christ's love. You know, we hear from I don't know how many prisons all over the United States. And I know one prison, we hear from 14 different prisoners in that prison. And we put it on our mailing list, and we have what we call a little new song. It's a publication we put out every month. And there's a Bible study every month. And this month, it's on the promises of God. And we'll be glad to send it to you free and postpaid. I'll give you the address just in a minute. Just get your pencil and paper and be ready. But you'll get a blessing from it. And we pray for those in prison. God bless them. Here's Independence, Missouri. Listening to your teachings of the gospel from a biblical perspective, along with the uplifting music, has given me a chance to reflect on my own soul and to walk better with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so that's what we're all wanting to do, grow in grace, get to be more like Jesus, get closer to the Lord. And God can do that if we just give him time. Just read his word and just meditate on it. Read something and say, now what is God telling me here? And oh, there's power there. Wonderful. One more letter. Belton, Missouri. Thank you so much for your services and preaching God's word. Since I'm 89 and a shut-in, you keep me comforted, steadfast, and encouraged all week. I do not understand how people make it without the Lord and his Holy Spirit from hour to hour and day to day. May God continue to grow your ministry and help so many people. And, you know, we hear that so often. What would we do if we didn't have Jesus? How could we get along without Jesus? But you know something? A lot of people are getting along without Jesus, and it's tough going. It's hard going. And they're in despair, and they're carrying burdens they wouldn't have to bury. Wouldn't have to carry. And this is what you need to do. If you've never accepted Jesus, you could do it right now, right this minute. You could just pray and say, Dear Jesus, I am sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And then tell him that you'll live for him the best you can. That's repentance. He taught repentance. I'll just turn from things that are wrong. I'll serve you the best I can. And then thank Jesus and just thank you, dear Jesus, for saving my soul in Jesus' name. And you know, you don't have to be fancy. Just in your own words, talk to Jesus. Ask him to come into your heart. He wants to come in. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I'll open the door and come in. He wants to come in, but he's not a trespasser. And he won't come in unless you ask him in. But when you ask him in, he'll come into your life. And when you write to us, and I'll give you the address in just a minute. I'll give it to you right now, I guess. You write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002-2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or if you want to get us, you can get us on the internet, ChristianWorshipHour.com. If you'd like to get our little monthly publication called The New Song, and you just write to us. You've got the address there on your screen. Those on shortwave radio, I'll give it to you again in just a minute. Get the thing ready. Get your pencil ready. And then if you want to, you get this little new song. You'll get the sermon topics. You'll get the text. You'll get excerpts from letters that we get. It's just a lovely little paper. And it's new every month, a new one. And the study this week, this month is on the promises of God. What better to have the first year, month of the year, the promises of God to take us all the way through. And let me say this too, when you send your gift, then I hope that you will support us financially because we have to pay our bills just like anybody else. And we're not underwritten by any denomination or corporation or church or anything like that. It's just God's people all over the world helping us. And wherever you are in the world, you can send a gift. We get gifts from different countries in the world. And you just look up a Christian Worship Hour. You look on there and it'll say donate. It'll say PayPal. And you put it in there and we'll get an American currency and we'll pay our bills. And one thing I want you to know for sure, and that is we are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. That's an international organization that checks our books, not only what we receive, but how we spend it. And so you can count on it. We're taking care of your money, using it just for God's glory. I just hope that you'll write. And so now I'm going to give that to our shortwave people, Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And I hope that you can write. Hope we'll hear from you. God bless you all. Now Jan's going to play. And then you just ask God what he wants you to do. And we'll just leave it to his hand and we'll know. We'll get just exactly what God wants us to have. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you for your people who have supported this ministry now for over 35, 38 years. And just bless every gift and every giver. And bless your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Jan, thank you. That's just beautiful. Just cheers the soul, blesses us all. We're reading from John chapter 15 now, if you want to locate that. And then, you know, every month, every week we pray for one of the countries where we have brothers and sisters in Christ that are suffering or under persecution. And today we're going to be praying for those who are in Vietnam. And pray that God will just bless and help them. and be a good witness for the Lord. And I just wondered, you know, sometimes if it came to America, what would we do? How many of us would stand up for the Lord? I hope I would, but I don't know. Just pray for those that are going through this, and many of them are really standing true to the Lord. So we're looking at the first verse of the 15th chapter, and it writes, and John writes, I am the vine, and Jesus talks about this, and John tells us, I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful story of the vine and the branches. Help us to see that we are the vine, that we are the branches, and we need to bear fruit, and help us all to be fruitful, Lord. The world needs it, and we need it to glorify you, and we need it to fulfill your purpose, our purpose on earth. And so help us as we take lessons from our message today, from the Word of God, that we will be fruitful vines, bearing fruit to the glory of God. We want to pray today, Lord, for those in need, and we think especially of our brothers and sisters in Vietnam. And we know that some of them are giving their life for you, Lord. And we rejoice in them that they were faithful to you. And in that 1 second, they're in your presence. And now they're in the presence of your presence. And they wear the martyr's crown, oh God. But we pray for the mothers and the parents left behind there. And we pray for the little children who are caught up in this evilness of the devil, and pray that you'll give special grace and strength. We know you will, Lord. We know your eye is upon them. Underneath are your everlasting arms. So help them to know that all around the world, we pray for those dear people, brothers and sisters in Vietnam. Now we ask you to bless this service, Lord. Honor your name. Accomplish your purpose. May your wonderful will be done. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And Melissa is with us today, and she's going to sing a song, Blessed Assurance. And God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Oh, this is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Thank you, Melissa. And isn't that a wonderful message? We have assurance. We're not hoping or guessing or we're hoping for the best. We have the full assurance. When we receive Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. That minute we have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, that is, won't go into hell, but you're passed from death unto life. Oh, praise God. That's John 5, verse 24, if you want to look it up. It's some wonderful message. In the closing words of John's Gospel, chapter 14, we have these words, arise, let us go hence. And at that point, they left the upper room. They had observed the Passover, their feet had been washed. Judas had gone out into the night, and the new feast, the Lord's Supper had been instituted. And then the troubled disciples had been comforted. And then Jesus said, arise, let us go hence. And where did they go? Well, we don't know for sure. Some think that they went to the temple because this was Passover time. And at Passover, they left the gates of the temple open all night long because of the throngs of people being there. And so if that was the case, they would have gone to the gates of the temple. And on that temple, there was the symbol of the national life of Israel, and it was a vine, and that was a symbol. Just like in the United States, we have the stars and the stripes, or we have the eagle. Well, so for Israel, the vine, the grapevine, was the symbol of Israel. And on those great bronze doors of the temple, there was a great vine. And so they would know exactly what he was talking about. Others think that he went to the Mount of Olives, and if that would be the case, then the disciples would have been among the grapevines that grow there. And maybe even while Jesus is talking to them, they'll see the flicker of some way off in the distance, a flicker of fire where they're burning the branch that have been disposed of. At any rate, they left the upper room, and then they came to this place where Jesus is going to teach them something. And he's going to talk to them about the disciples. And he's going to point out three things. In this 15th chapter, he's going to talk about the believer's relationship to Christ. And he's going to talk then about the believer's relationship to other believers. And then he's going to talk about the believer's relationship to the world. Those three points, and that's what we're going to look at today. So the believer's relationship to Christ begins with, I am the vine. And that literally could be, I am the vine, the true one. And Jesus is making a contrast here because there was a true vine and an untrue vine. The vine that had failed, the untrue vine had failed, and that vine was the nation of Israel. Remember, the vine was a symbol of that nation. And he says that this vine had failed. And he talks about it in Psalm verse 80. He says, when he talks about Israel, he says, "Thou broughtest a vine out of Egypt." And that had reference to the fact that that was the beginning of Israel's national life. And that they were there from then on, they would be always have that as their symbol. When they were brought out of Egypt, and they were made a nation in the wilderness and then went into the promised land and so on. The prophets use the same symbol about the vine. For instance, Isaiah writes, he says, "My beloved had a vineyard in a very fruitful hill." And Jeremiah writes, he says, about Israel as a degenerate vine. And Ezekiel talks also, he talks about the vine and carrying it away. And in that, he was speaking about the captivity of Israel that was yet to come. He predicting that. And so Israel, so Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's likened Israel to a vine, a grapevine, and this grapevine had failed, and it was degenerate. And so Jesus is saying, "Now I am the vine. I'm the true vine. I am the one that is true. I am the one that you can trust. I am the vine, and so that you can see what the true vine ought to be in real relative to the degenerate vine, the one that failed." And so he said, "I am the vine." That is, Jesus is the trunk. He is the main stem. And everything that originates from that vine originates from the trunk. You see that in the picture of the head and the body. Jesus is the head, and we are members of that body. And all of the directions and feelings and emotions and actions and everything comes from the head. So Jesus is the head, and we're part of that body. But all the body does comes, originates from the head. It comes from the true vine, comes from Jesus. And he says this so that he says he is the vine. Everything originates, everything depends on Jesus. And then he says, "You are the branches." And so there's a very close union with Christ, because we are a part of him and he is a part of us. It's like a sponge in a bucket of water. Is the water in the sponge or is the sponge in the water? The two are one. They're bound together. Is Christ in us and we are in Christ both ways? And so Paul said when he wrote, he said, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." And the vine and the branch is so cooperation and oneness of purpose. And so that the result can be that fruit will be born. Fruit will come from it. So Jesus is the vine, we're the branches. And it's interesting to notice that those branches in and of themselves had no value. No value in and of themselves without that trunk. The vine alone, the branches alone, had nothing, no value at all. William Barclay comments about this and he writes, "Further, the wood of the vine has the curious characteristic that it is good for nothing. It is too soft for any purpose. At certain times of the year, it was laid down by the law. The people must bring offerings of wood to the temple for the altar fires, but the wood of the vine must not be brought. The only thing that could be done with the wood pruned out of the vine was make a bonfire out of it and destroy it." And so it's what we're told here is where there's absolutely no value in ourselves. There is no good thing in us. There's none righteous, no, not one. We've all gone astray and we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is nothing good in that vine. And all that we have and all that we accomplish and all that we're ever going to do comes because of our relationship to the trunk, to Jesus Christ. It all originates that, all comes out of that. Jesus told his disciples, plain as day, he says, "Without me, ye can do nothing." So those branches were good for only two things, bearing fruit or burning in the bonfire. That's all they were good for, nothing else. Burning or bearing or burning. So the branch has no value in itself. And when it's cut off, then it is absolutely worthless. It is of no value at all. So we have no spiritual life outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is all because of our relationship with him. Many try to get spiritual life from other sources, and they say, "Oh, they don't need Jesus Christ," and they will have their own gods and their own spiritual things, and they'll have rituals, and they'll have baptism, they'll have church membership, they'll have circumcision, they'll have good works, they'll have self-denial, they'll have everything under the sun, but not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us, and it is all trash. And as without Jesus Christ, we need to remember this. All of our strength and life comes from Christ. We need to confess our weakness, and we need to confess our sin, our hopelessness, and the need for his strength. We need to humble ourselves and confess that of ourselves we are nothing, and it's all because of Jesus. And there's no place for pride, but only to adore and worship the Lord. I have no life, and without life I have no fruit, and I have nothing, nothing. So Jesus talks to them in the verse 4, a little band of disciples. Now he's not talking to the multitude, he's not talking to the world, he's talking to his little band of disciples, his followers. And in the 4th verse he says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. 11 times in these 11 verses, he talks about, sometimes it's a Greek word continue, sometimes it's remain, but it always means abide, abide. And so how do we abide in the Lord Jesus Christ then? Well, many ways we do it by reading our Bible. We read it about worshiping Christ, worshiping God. We read it about meditating on his word and thinking about his word. We grow and we meditate and we abide in him by prayer and by service as we serve him. We're abiding in him and living in him. But let me tell you, abiding as Christ is the only way, the most joyful way in all the world to live. And many people live just for themselves. But oh, when we give ourselves to Jesus and live for him, have no other goal, no other thing in mind but to walk with Jesus and to serve him, there comes joy and there comes fruit. So we have the vine and the branches. And then he talks about the Father in heaven as the husbandman or the vine dresser. And he's in charge of taking care of the vine. And he prunes and he purges of the vines so that there'll be more fruit. A pruning or chastening is not a pleasant process. It hurts. And I remember my mother, I think she spanked me once, and I cried so much that she never spanked me again, hardly ever spanked me, and didn't spank me very hard then. I think maybe I put on an act or something. I don't know. But I know if you get a spanking, I had my mouth washed out with soap too. But this pruning and this chastening, it's not a joyous at the time, but you need that to bring forth good fruit, to bring a better, to live for the Lord, to do the thing that's right, to have our aiming in the Lord Jesus Christ. And some Christians pray, and they'll be fruitful. And then when Jesus, they say, pray, oh God, make me a vine. Make me that branches, and oh God, make me fruitful. And so then this is the Lord says, okay, then to make you fruitful, I have to do some pruning, have to do a little cutting on you. And then they complain and they cry that things aren't working right, and they're mad at God because everything didn't work right. They've asked him to make them fruitful, and then when he's going to make them fruitful, then they complain. What a job God has to do with some of us. The vine dresser prunes then. He does it in two ways. He cuts off the dead wood so that it can't become diseased or filled with insects. That's just dead, he cuts off. And then that which is living, he cuts and he prunes so that it'll be more productive. And when God deals with us, prunes with us, he's doing us a great favor, because we all want to make our lives count for Christ. We all want to be fruitful. And so when we have those heartaches and those heartbreaks or those setbacks, or that sickness, or whatever it might be, he's pruning us, he's working in us, and because out of that we can serve him better. Why, look at some of the great hymns of the church. Fanny Crosby, blind, and gave us some of the most beautiful songs ever was. Pruning, oh, she was blind, but out of that blindness, she herself said she never could have sung like she did and praised God like she did if she would have had her sight. It's the goodness of God. And so we pray that God will deal with us. And when he does that, He does us a great favor. Warren Wiersbe put it like this. He said, "Your heavenly Father is never nearer to you than when he is pruning you." So there's a cycle here. The more we abide in Christ, the more we yield. And the more we yield, the more he prunes. And that's just the process of the vine and the branches. And so this process may be painful, but God does it to make us grow, to make us stronger, to make us purer, to make us more like him. The vine dresser prunes every vine. He scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And so if there's no setback in your life, if you don't have the troubles and trials and hurts, maybe you don't belong to the Lord, because he's going to deal with every child, every one that he has. He deals with us to make us more like Christ. It's like the potter working with the clay. And so when he works with that clay, he works with the human flesh as the clay. And when he presses on that clay, it hurts, but he's forming something out of us. He has something in his mind that nobody can see. And so he sees it. We see it as he forms us, you see, that wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, a wonderful Heavenly Father. And so then comes the fruit. And that's something that takes time. Takes time to plant, takes time to grow, takes time to cultivate, takes time to prune, takes time to bear fruit. So we must be patient as we wait upon the Lord. And so as we love with the Lord Jesus and walk with him, and nothing is happening in them, we don't see where we're doing anything good, you stay with it and stay at your post whether you see it or not. And I think so many times as we have these services and we sing and we pray, and we worship and we send it out over the world, and where is it going and who is watching? And we can't see and we can't tell, and we don't need to. The Heavenly Father needs to do that. But we need to be faithful and patient and wait on the Lord and leave it with the Lord. And notice this, the branches does not eat the fruit. The branch doesn't eat the fruit. It bears the fruit for somebody else. And so when God gives you, maybe blesses you financially, or he gives you a great voice and you're singing all over town, but you don't sing in church. You have ability to teach, and but you don't use it for the Lord. You use it for yourself. And the branch is there not to eat its own fruit, but to bear fruit for other people. Like Billy Graham says, the gifts that God gives us, and it's like a box. A box of chocolates, and it's used to give to other people, to give out to other people. It's a box of tools so that we can go and use it to help other people and do the purpose of God and the will of God. All too many Christians revel in their own gift that God has given them, and they use it for self-glory. And instead of honoring God, they honor themselves. And so this fruit bears the fruit. What is that fruit? It can come in many varied ways. It might come in winning people to Christ, like in Romans 1:13. Might be in helping and bringing in the harvest, like in John 4:35 to 38. It might be growing in holiness and obedience to God, like in Romans 6:22, a dedicated life. The fruit of the Spirit is listed as love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, good works, service to others, praise to God. All of these ways the fruit can come, and it comes if we submit to the Lord. So the purging and the pruning take place. But before he leaves this allegory of the branches and the vine, Jesus says this in verse 6. He said, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." And I've heard people preach sermons on this, and they say, "You see, you can be saved and cut off and burned. You can be saved and lost." No such thing. Because when you took a look at this, Jesus Christ is not talking about salvation. He's talking about service. He's already saved, and that's not cut away. He's talking about service. And you remember Paul said the same thing. He said, I watch in every way I can so that I won't become a castaway. So I hear sermons. See, Paul thought he could be cast away. Paul isn't talking about salvation. He's talking about service. And he says, I want to be in the service of the Lord. But if I don't live for Christ and I'll have all kinds of sin and I don't put all my effort in, he'll set me aside. I was raised on the farm. We had all kinds of machinery out there. We had rakes and we had mowing machines and tractors and things. There was still a tractor, but it was just set aside. That's all. Didn't mean it turned into something else. And all they're simply saying here in these scriptures is, he purges us, that is, he brings us closer to himself as far as bearing fruit. But as far as salvation is concerned, there is nothing to consider. That's all settled. And when God says, like he's told Martha, he says that whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I give him eternal life. Never die. That's what he means. You'll never die. You'll never go to hell. Take God at his word. Stop reading things into it. And so then the believer's relationship to others comes into the picture. And he says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And so he's telling us that he says, this I command you. And, you know, people say, oh, you can't love. It just has to be some emotional thing that comes on you. And then you'll pray, then you'll love, you know, if something under the third rib or something like that, or God only knows. But you know what Jesus says? He commanded us to love. And that's in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. It isn't a matter of emotion. It's a matter of will. And we decide if we will love or not. And emotions come later. And so he's telling us that we're the believers are to love one another and care for one another. And he says, in verse 15, you have not chosen me, I've chosen you. That's a wonderful thing because it tells us that he sees us in that future. He sees those who are going to come to him. And he sends the Holy Spirit and we answer to that Holy Spirit and come to him. And then he talks about that he says, I've chosen you because I want you to for higher honor. I want to use you to my honor and glory. And he says in verse 15, that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain. God wants us to bear fruit. And by fruit, he means that which comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. It can't be something that we work up and do ourselves. It's something that comes by the Holy Spirit working through us. An apple tree doesn't come start in the spring and say, I guess I'll go do some apples today, this season, and then bears apples. No, this just is, it just itself. It yields itself to the sap and to the motion of that tree, and it brings forth apples. And we give our life to the Holy Spirit, to the Lord, and he fills us with his Spirit, and he brings forth the fruit. And it's just as natural as a apple tree bearing apples. It's just going to come. If we give ourselves to the Lord. And then he closes by saying the relationship to the world. And he says that the world is going to hate you. Verse 18, he says to the disciples, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel, but the world's going to hate you. Verse 18, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And why does the world hate us? They hate us because we're followers of Christ. And if we don't follow him, they'll love us. The world loves its own. But when we forsake when we love the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're going to have to suffer for it. There's a great Lutheran pastor, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and he used to say, you just come and die with me. When Jesus calls us to come, he calls us to suffer, and the world will never change, and the world hates us, and so we are to do this because we love the Lord, and we put ourselves in God's hands, and we submit to the Lord, and we trust him. And the Bible says that the word used for world can be used three different ways. It can be used for creation, the world of created, or it can be the world's people, that Jesus, God, the soul of the world, or it can be society. It can be the world, and it can be the world how that the world system, its organization, its philosophies, its purposes, its culture, and they are anti-God and anti-Christ. And when we line up with the Lord Jesus Christ and walk with Him and follow Him, oh, the world will hate us. And I think about being in the ministry 71 years now, or 71 years, almost 72. And you know, when I started out, they looked at the church and they just kind of looked in disdain. And the mother and the women and the children went to church. Men didn't go to church. Very few men went to church. They were men. And they just disregarded the church. They just didn't pay any attention to it. Well, it's a different ball game now. The world hates the church. All over the world, they're putting people to death and may come to America. And God help us to be ready to stand up for Jesus Christ and take a lick for the Lord. And so God tells us, as far as the world is concerned, He says, be not conformed to this world. He wants us to serve Him, and He wants us to be witnesses to the people in the world. All those people are blinded. They're walking in darkness. Satan has blinded their eyes, and they don't see, and they don't understand, and they're on the road to torment. They're on the road to hell, and they say, oh, God, He's a God of love, and oh, He couldn't put anybody in hell. Well, God doesn't put anybody in hell. You put yourself there. And the Lord loves us, and He loves the lost. And I don't care how much your sin is and how bad your sin is, He loves you. You can't get beyond the love of God. But listen, when you die and you don't have Christ in your life, when you die, the love of God ends and the wrath of God begins. And that God loves you, and He wouldn't put you in hell for anything, but you put yourself there, because God gives His wonderful Son, and Jesus paid for your sins on that cross. And God says that you take My Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on Him. That's what God says. And God says, I'll give you My Son. And you open your heart to Him, and you repent and take Him as your Savior, and you'll have eternal life. But if you reject My Son, and you trample underfoot His precious blood, and you take the sacrifice, and I robbed heaven, I gave everything I had for your sins, and you reject Him, and you spit on Him, and you take His name in vain, and you desecrate His name every way you can, and when you meet God, there's going to be a score to settle, and it's your own doing. The ball is in your part of the game. You decide, I'll have heaven or I'll have hell. And I'm praying, and everybody on the Christian worship are praying to God right now, that you'll say, oh God, I am a sinner, and I need You, and I ask You to come into my heart. And I thank You. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and was raised again. And I just ask You to come into my heart and take away my sins. And dear Jesus, I'll serve You the best I can. I'll make You the Lord of my life. And I'll just walk. I just thank You, and then thank Him for saving you. Then you can say amen. Maybe you haven't ever prayed before. I talked to a man not long ago. He never prayed before, and he prayed that prayer to accept Jesus. When he got done, he said goodbye. Well, fine, that's all right. You don't have to say amen. Say goodbye. God bless you. I hope you're praying that. Now, if you did, you write to us, and we'll send you some literature to help you get started in the Christian life. In the meantime, you get the Gospel of John. Start reading the Gospel of John. That's a wonderful book to read for a new Christian. Read the Gospel of John. You write to us, we'll send you some literature. And to those of you on beds of sickness, and those of you who are struggling and hurting, you just trust Jesus. He loves you. That love is there. And we're going to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Your being sending Your Son, being a Savior. Pray that multitudes are praying right now to take You into their life. To those on beds of sickness, those who are shut in, those who are hurting, those who lost their job, those who are going through a divorce, those whose children have gone wrong. God, oh, we don't know what it is. Help them to lean out, reach out to you, put all their faith in you, and just to give those children to Jesus and help them to just know that underneath of the everlasting arms, you said you'd never leave us, never forsake us. Just pray for each one. Oh, God, how we need you and how you love us and you want us to come. Help us to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want to thank you all. We hope that you'll write to us this week, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. And pray for us. Help us if you can. And then next week we'll get together. Lord willing, maybe the Lord will come before then. Maybe he'll take some of us home. We don't know. We don't care. We just put ourselves in his hands. Tell your friends about the Christian Worship Hour. Maybe you have a friend doesn't know Jesus, never heard about him. Then you can talk to, you can let him listen in. Let her listen in. Whoever it is, they'll come to Jesus. Whatever, either way, whatever's done, may it all be done to God's glory. In his name we pray and thank you. Amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.